Around the NFL, OTAs are in full swing, and the Houston Texans are no different. For the first time in 2014, the rookies and the veterans take the field together as the team starts to take shape for next season.
For us as coaches, it's a very exciting time of the year because you get to see everybody out there together and running the different things that we're going to ask them to run, and it's an exciting time of the year.
Smiles bring out the stars for a good cause in downtown Houston. And a Houston Texan cheerleader goes to prom and takes our cameras along for the ride. All that and more starting right now on Texans Huddle. Hi, everyone, and welcome into Texans Huddle. OTAs, organized team activities, underway here at NRG Park. I'm Patty Smith alongside the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. And Mark, they're out there, the vets, the rookies, the entire team, the new coaching staff for organized team activities.
That's right, Patty. Rookies and vets together. The rookies were out here about a week ago doing their thing. Now they're all together, and you got to love this time of year. I mean, the smell of the grass, they're out here doing their thing, slinging the football. You have four quarterbacks going at it, and it's just terrific to see some of the young guys try to get up to speed with the veterans. Who, by the way, are also trying to get up to speed because they're dealing with a new coaching staff. So you have a good mix going on right now.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that mix. We, as you said, saw the rookies last week. One quarterback was out here, Tom Savage. Now they're out there with the veterans asking questions. Maybe nerves are a little bit higher. Just your impression of what you've seen with the mix.
Yeah, I think nerves might be a pretty good word for it, Patty, because you see veterans out here knowing, yeah, some guys know they have a solid gig like a J.J. Watt. Brian Cushing's on the sideline, but he knows his position is solid. You have some other veterans out here who might have a job taken away if they don't do it properly. So a lot of competition. I think a good word for these OTAs so far, intensity. I don't remember OTAs ever being this intense, really going at it hard out here. Contact is limited because this is May and June. You can't do too much here as far as contact with the collective bargaining agreement, but you do have some outstanding competition.
Well, absolutely, and I think the players, whether they're rookies, whether they're vets, or whether it's the coaching staff, is happy to see everyone out there. As you said, a little nervous, but all in the mix.
Well, I'm sure for the rookies today, there was a little bit of nervousness, no question about it. You're on the same field now, in a practice type setting with the veterans, and we eased them into that process last week with involving them in the coaching sessions. We kept them separate as far as lifting weights went, but we incorporated them into the coaching sessions, and I think that's gone well, kind of easing them into where they are now, where we're all together. But, you know, again, you'd have to ask the rookies, but I could sense there was a little bit of nervousness, excitement that they were out there and with these guys, a lot of these guys that have played a lot of football. And it's good to me, for us as coaches, it's a very exciting time of the year because you get to see everybody out there together and running the different things that we're going to ask them to run, and it's an exciting time of the year.
What's that like for you to occasionally line up next to J.J. Watt, not just being on the defense with him, but, you know, actually next to that guy?
That's good, you know, just watching him work, man. He make you want to work even more than what you're doing, so I'm just glad to be beside him out there on the field.
How much does he pull you aside?
All the time, you know. Sometimes make me go on that extra workout with him, you know, but he's a team guy, you know. He always say he can help you no matter what. You just ask him, he'll show you what to do.
I think he's had enough rookie responsibilities as it is so far, and he's I know they're doing a lot with the rookies, so they're working hard and trying to get their playbook down, and obviously as a rookie there's a lot of things thrown your way, so he's working on the playbook and just trying to be a good teammate.
Well, Mark, clearly everyone's glad to be back out here, familiar surroundings, yet there's some differences. And on day one, Coach Bill O'Brien, after practice, kind of just went right out there and said the quarterback position wide open. That was kind of a surprise to me.
Wide open. Now, he did say after the draft there's a competition at every position. Quarterback is certainly one of them. That's almost a direct quote right there. By the way, music during OTAs, kind of a new thing as well, just to distract the guys and create a lot of noise and that kind of thing. For these quarterbacks to work and mentally get the play delivered in the huddle, operate at the line of scrimmage, he wants to see who rises to the occasion here. Obviously, Fitzpatrick has a tremendous edge here, Patty. Savage was drafted in the fourth round. We know what Yates did historically. Don't count Case Keenum out just yet, because Case has the ability to win people over. He picked up Kubiak's offense very well within a year. He's had all offseason here. You never know. Maybe he finds a way to get amped up playing time in the preseason, and you take it from there.
Well, and the music does amp these guys up. That's one of the changes we were talking about. And one of the things that the guys seem to be talking a lot about was the tempo difference.
Yeah, no question, Patty, because what they want to do is change speeds a lot, go no huddle sometimes, then be a huddle team on occasion. But to be able to shift gears quickly is such an advantage for an offense. And the players certainly enjoy that, but they're learning it right now.
I think we are moving fast. Obviously, right now with just helmets on, it's a little bit different. But we are definitely moving fast. You have the music out there. There's a high tempo. But obviously, being a defensive lineman, I can't wait till we put the pads on. That's kind of like Christmas Day for me.
The game is played at such a fast pace. The game is really played at a fast pace. I'm not talking about running a lot of plays. I'm just talking about the pace of the game, you know, especially in the National Football League. You know, there's about 70, 75 plays per game, and the games are run efficiently, and the games go fast, so we've got to be ready for that tempo. Now, you can't get that exact tempo in a practice. You know, you try to. You know, I think there's a lot of things that you can do to ramp up the intensity in practice, and we try to do those things, and the guys have really, you know, fallen in line and done a good job with that.
And, Mark, switching sides to the other side of the ball, a lot of eyes on Romeo Crennel as well.
Oh, absolutely. It's a 3-4 defense, not the Wade Phillips 3-4 that we were accustomed to. A little bit different. Bigger guys up front. Poe playing nose tackle. Lewis Nix III, who they drafted in the third round. You're going to see a whole lot of him. J.J. Watt's going to like this defense. And Jadeveon Clowney, number one overall pick in the draft. Seeing him move out here. The guy is so quick on his feet for such a large man. Interesting to watch this defense try to get it together.
I like Romeo. I think he's a great coach, and he's a teacher of the game. And you know, he's right now he's just trying to get everyone on the same page, and I think he's doing a pretty good job of that.
His demeanor, his knowledge of the game, his ability to talk to his players and talk to his fellow coaches, his ability to communicate, his ability to listen. And then personally, for me, it's been great to have him here because he's been a head coach. He's sat in the seat that I'm sitting in. And so that's always good, in my opinion, to have a guy on the staff that's been there, you know, and gone through some things, obviously. And you can bounce ideas off of him that, you know, would be hard to bounce off somebody that hasn't been in that position. But he's a really bright guy. And, you know, I've gotten to know him well over the last 6 months and, you know, have really enjoyed coaching with him.
All right, we have to take our first time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, I go one-on-one with DeAndre Hopkins. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Well, as I said, I had a chance to sit down with DeAndre Hopkins, and last year at this time, he was out here impressing everybody with his hands and what he could do. You didn't feel like he was a rookie. He had a great training camp, great OTAs, but he's got a little experience under his belt now.
He does, Patty. He had a good rookie season. Remember, he caught the game-winning touchdown pass in the last victory for the Houston Texans, week 2 against Tennessee at home in overtime. I think last year's tough experience is really going to help him out for this campaign with this new coaching staff.
Well, again, I had a chance to sit down with DeAndre.
Just a snap. He will throw, looking deep, left side. It's caught. Touchdown, DeAndre Hopkins. Throws right side of the end zone. Hopkins with the grab. Does he keep both feet in? Yes! Touchdown! The Texans win it!
So, DeAndre, it seems like just yesterday we were at OTAs. It was kind of your first one. Everybody had all eyes on you. You were, you know, you kind of stepped up, had confidence right away. But how much different, I know it's early on, is this your second year than it was that rookie year for you last year?
It's a lot of difference in the preparation, the way I prepare myself for each practice, the things I do on and off the field to become a better player. Last year I was just kind of going, you know, day in and day out. But now, you know, I have a schedule. I have a plan on what I'm going to do throughout the week.
Any part of that plan or anything you can share with us what you are actually doing?
Yeah, you know, dieting right, you know, just making sure I get plenty enough fluids and eating the right meals to come out each day and have a good practice.
So, again, early on, but just talk about what you've seen from this coaching staff and how different it is from that aspect.
These are great guys. You know, I'm not going to sit here and try to compare the two, but It's different. I can say that.
Different because, I mean, one word that we keep coming up with and hearing a lot and Bill O'Brien has talked about is the up-tempo. You can hear it in the music. You can kind of see it out there already. But is that kind of one of the differences you're referring to?
Yeah, he's a passionate guy. You know, you might think you're getting away with something, but he's on you. Or a lot of eyes are on you, and they're going to critique you. They're going to make sure you get, you know, the best. They get the best out of you each day.
And how about just, just overall? I mean, obviously, Andre Johnson is not out here. I'm not really asking you to comment on him. But just how do you take advantage of the extra time, the extra reps, and just kind of being the guy out there right now?
I'll just go out and do my job. I feel like all the wide receivers out there feel the same. We hear it in the media day in and day out about Andre. You know, he's a big brother to us. We still talk to him. But we just go out there and do our job.
A few young guys out there now, and you're still a young guy, but because you are kind of that guy out there, do you sometimes or have you seen yourself taking on that big brother role at all yet?
Yeah, I have. A lot of younger guys are out there kind of messing up. I feel like I'm not a second-year guy. The way the coaches treat us, the starters, they treat us like we're vets, and that's how we're supposed to be treated. Like, we're supposed to go out there and be perfect, and that's how we act. But the young guys, they're picking it up, but I catch myself a lot of times talking to them, telling them to do things right, or listen to the coach.
So go back to last season a little bit, your rookie season. How would you overall grade or rate yourself? What were the positives? What do you like, what you did, and what would you like to improve on?
I would grade myself a C+. It was average because it was 2-14 mainly. I would like to have more touchdowns, be able to finish catches, have more yak yards than I did. But I would say catching the ball is probably a positive. Just being able to catch last year was a good thing.
2-14, you mentioned it, obviously not where this team wanted to be. No one had any thoughts that it would be that kind of a season. How forward are you individually and as a team looking to just turning that page and moving on to next season?
Oh, I can't wait for the first game against the Redskins. I got some guys at Washington. I've already been talking junk to them. I went to high school with one of the guys on the team, so it's a friendly competition. But we can't wait to erase that memory out of our heads. We already have, honestly. We're not going to wait to the season. As soon as we stepped out here, that was gone.
Just from a quarterback standpoint, as a receiver, not really knowing yet, it's going to be different, obviously. Last year, it was mixed up a little bit as well. But any different preparations, or how do you kind of approach it mentally, not knowing exactly how that's going to play out?
I just try to get reps with each quarterback just to kind of build chemistry with each one. And I think the guys do the same thing with other wide receivers and the quarterbacks as well. We're not really sure, who's going to start, but we got four great quarterbacks and Savage as well. So it's going to be a good friendly competition between all four of those guys.
So tell us what you did this offseason.
I trained well. I did a lot of fishing, hanging out on the lakes with family, and basically just working out, running a lot of hills and all that good stuff.
Biggest fish you caught was?
It wasn't that big. It was a catfish, actually. It wasn't. It was all right. It was about 9 pounds. But in the lake where I'm from, it's kind of big.
All right. Thanks so much and good luck.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. We just take another time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, one of our Houston Texans, as they usually do, is out doing some great things in our community. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Huddle here at NRG Park. We got a little reggae music behind us. OTAs are going on, but it wasn't the only thing going on here with the Houston Texans this week, Mark.
Well, Patty, Chris Myers and Jenny Myers had a terrific event for Operation Smile and Chris Myers Dream Builders organization. Dinner for Smiles, of course, Chris's son, Keen, born with a cleft palate. He has had numerous surgeries. He's doing really well now. The Myers family taking it upon themselves to raise funds for Operation Smile. They did it in style.
Keen, what are you doing, bud?
Our son Keen was born with bilateral cleft lip and palate. And through that process, we've been able to open our eyes up to many organizations that help out throughout that worldwide. And Operation Smile was the one that we kind of settled down with, we liked the most. And we've been able to raise a few tens of thousands of dollars for them already. And with this dinner tonight, we're hoping to raise a bunch more to be able to help out people around the world.
As soon as we got diagnosed with Keen's clefts and everything, we knew that we wanted to make a difference in other kids' lives that, don't have the availability of surgeries and the means. So this is important to raise money for Operation Smile and other kids in the Houston area.
Obviously, we're around Chris every day, so we went through that whole process with him, and he showed us all the photos of his son going through it, and he would give us updates, and obviously it's been a success, so it's really neat to see that, and it's nice to see Chris being able to give back to other kids with the same issue via this event.
I think it speaks tremendously about the character of the guys. Not one guy that I asked to be able to participate in this with me said no, so I think it speaks volumes for their character to be able to come out here and help out with a cause that is kind of bigger than all of us. It's something that is real prevalent worldwide, and to be able to kind of have that in the back of their mind, knowing you know, it hits close to home with us, with our son, it speaks volumes.
From the beginning, this team has been awesome. As soon as Chris told them about Keen, everyone got behind him and was super supportive, and we brought him to training camp last year, and all the guys were surrounding him, and I know it meant a lot to Chris to have the support, you know, of his team and the coaches and the staff, so it just means a lot to have the support of the community and everyone coming out for a good cause.
With United Healthcare, our mission is to help people live healthier lives. And we're proud to partner with Chris and Operation Smiles and the Dream Builders Foundation, you know, to bring the focus on children's health plights to the forefront. So we're proud to support him and his efforts to help children recover from, you know, cleft palate and deformities.
Yeah, obviously, you know, be able to get a dinner plate was a little bit of money to be able to raise some money, but the Silent Auction's raising money, and we have some live auction items. Mostly all Texans related, which I think a lot of people here will be very interested in. But I think in general, just to be able to have the donations and the generosity of people is the biggest thing for us. And the awareness factor was what we wanted to bring about. So the money's great, yeah, but we wanted to bring more awareness for the cleft community.
Well, Mark, that was such a great event. Of course, you, as always, did a great job emceeing it. But I was not surprised, but impressed, as I always am, to see so many of his teammates coming out and supporting him on this.
Well, you talk about Case Keenum and Ryan Fitzpatrick, T.J. Yates. You had numerous veterans there, Dwayne Brown, J.J. Watt. They really supported the Myers family. It was terrific to see. And that shows team unity. They continue to build this football team because they know they have to rebound from a 2-14 season with this new staff. And they're looking forward to growing together.
It's a part of being a team. It's a part of the unity. It's a part of doing stuff outside of the building together too. That brings you closer on and off the field. So you know, and on top of it, it's guys you can rely on. It's guys you can rely on to be in the building every day. It's guys you can rely on when you have a situation or event like this that they'll be there. So I think it's just a lot of accountability, and like you said, brings everyone closer.
Part of the coolest part for me is they all come out and support my game, so I try and go back and support as many of their things as we can. And guys see that, and they're like, I want to do my event. So we all try and help each other out. And I think that's what's a sign of a good team. You see so many players here, and I don't think that's the case in a lot of places. You see so many players, different positions, opposite sides of the ball, coming out to support Chris Myers, coming out to support me, and it's such a great thing.
We all have things that we support, you know, causes we have. When you have something that directly affects you, it's different, you know, and you have, it's something that you see every day, a family member that's going through something every day, and you're going through it with them, it's different, you know. So it really, really brings out the best of you and makes you really want to support it. And me being a friend of his, I feel the same way.
We have to take one final time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. We're going to the prom. Well, we might not be going to the prom. But
you broke my heart.
There's a prom going on. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Huddle and NRG Park here at Organized Team Activities, the team working out behind us. Mark, we had a little fun. Of course, it's the end of the school year. It's prom season, and one of our Houston Texans cheerleaders got a little involved.
That's right. Somebody asked Caitlin to the prom, and she said, yes. My goodness, they attracted a lot of attention.
I'm looking forward to meeting Mike, first of all, because I've heard so much about him, I've talked to him, I've done all this stuff, but I just haven't met him yet. I'm really looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to seeing his tux. I heard he's wearing a red jacket.
Thank you so much. Hi.
craziness is almost over, y'all. Thank you. All right, I need to get a picture of us in front of the limo. All right, here we go.
Definitely a lot of fun. You got any good prom stories you want to share with us?
This is television, isn't it? Maybe for the blooper reel.
All right. Well, we're not going to talk any more prom. We don't get to go to the prom this year, but the fans, however, can join us with a little help with social media.
That's right. All you have to do is tell us where you think we should shoot the huddle in July. That's kind of an off month for these players and coaches, so give us some ideas.
Well, hashtag Texans Huddle Summer. Hashtag us at Twitter. You've got Mark's. You've got my Twitter handles right there. Let us know where you want us to be, and we will be there. Until then, we are out of time, but we will be back here next week, every Thursday at 6 o'clock for Texans Huddle. Have a great week, everyone.
Oh, gosh, yes. Sure.